Good morning and welcome to the radio broadcast of the Grace Baptist Church in Akron, Ohio. Grace Baptist Church is located at 704 North Firestone Boulevard, and you'll find it is a perfect place for imperfect people. Stay with us for the next few moments, and just like at Grace Baptist Church, on this radio broadcast, you'll hear some great music and some great preaching from our pastor, Reverend Bob Stevens.
How are you going to get there? That's the question today. Good morning. It is Sunday. It is the first day of the week, and it is a great day. I am delighted to see you made the choice to join us today here on the Grace Baptist Church radio broadcast. My name is Jay. I have a lot to tell you about, but wait, before I get into all of that, let's have a little song, and I'll tell you about church here in just about an hour and a half, your invitation to be here, and then we'll hear from our pastor, Reverend Bob Stevens. Thank you so much for tuning in today.
7 years old, third row pew, John 3:16, something changed in me. Red letters coming off the page, flooding my heart with amazing grace. I knew then I believe, and those roots run deep. Oh, I've been through some faith-shaking hard times, yeah, but nothing's gonna make me forget. Every one of those Sunday sermons, every time that choir would sing, I can hear my Savior calling, telling me how much He loves me. No matter what the world throws at me, I know His word is true. It all started with a heart-stirring, spirit-moving Sunday sermon. Devil gonna try to take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Devil gonna try to take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Gonna have my worries, well that's part of life, but then I think of those stories about what my God can do. He's still moving like He did back then. Born again people, can I get an amen? We've all seen the proof, He makes all things new, even in those faith shaking hard times. Yeah, I never wanna stop. Telling me how much He loves me. No matter what the world throws at me, I know His word is true. It all started with a heart-stirring, spirit-moving Sunday sermon. Devil gonna try to take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Devil gonna try to take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, ain't no doubt. So I'm gonna keep on talking about. Oh yeah, every one of those Sunday sermons, every time that choir would sing, I can hear my Savior calling, telling me how much He loves. But you can't take the church out of me. Devil gonna try to take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me. Devil gonna try to take me out of that church, but you can't take the church out of me.
Oh yeah. And speaking of church, we're having church at 10 o'clock this morning. Let's see here. It's 8:35. You got an hour. It'll be 9:35. Yeah, you've got an hour to get ready. Hop in the car, come on over. The address is 704 North Firestone Boulevard, right here in Akron. Church starts at 10 o'clock. I'll tell you what, you'll have a great time. And this morning, don't tell anybody, pastor's not here. We've got Gary Keffer from Nashville, Georgia, and he'll be speaking at our service today. And I know we're looking forward to hearing from Gary Keffer. I also want to remind you, save the date. July 13th through the 17th will be our vacation Bible school, Wild About Jesus. Mark that down, July 13th through the 17th. Keep that in mind, and I'll give you more information as it comes along. Also, would like to remind you at Grace Baptist Church, Grief Share, Fridays at 7 o'clock. Now, we'd really appreciate it. You need to register at our Welcome Center, but there's no charge for the material, no charge for attending. So you stop by the Welcome Center, you speak to Sherry, Paula, or John, and they'll be glad to explain more about our Grief Share program. That's 7 o'clock on Friday evenings. A tremendous program for sure. Help you out a whole lot. And also, just a reminder, we will be celebrating our risen Lord, especially on Sunday, April 5th. And I want to challenge you to begin praying now about you being here, but you inviting someone else to come and share that day with us. Now, here at Grace Baptist Church, quite honestly, we celebrate our risen Lord and Savior every Sunday morning, because it was a Sunday morning that he rose from that grave. Oh, proving that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. Great things happening there. Hey, let's hear from the Keffers right now. Like I say, Gary will be here 10 o'clock this morning. So we'll play a little from the Keffers. And from the Keffers, we're going to go right into a message from our pastor, Reverend Bob Stevens. God bless you again. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you at 10 o'clock this morning.
Here I am once again, in a valley carved by sin, on a road that's leading further from your will. Choices I have made have brought me so much pain, but the lessons I have learned are greater still. Give me a new start, break my cold heart. Give me a new start, as only you can do. I know where I have been, and I long to feel your touch again. We've grown so far apart, now I'm crying in the dark. Give me a new start. In my foolish pride, I left my father's side on a journey that would take me far away. Oh, but when I tried it on my own, the peace I had was gone. Now I'm on my knees and I began to pray. Lord, give me a new start, break my cold heart. Give me a new start, as only can do. I know where I have been, and I long to feel your touch again. We've grown so far apart, now I'm crying in the dark.
Look with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says, "The Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And then he gives us our directive in Mark chapter 16. When we move over to there, we see what happens once we get saved. "And he said unto them, Go ye into" where? "All the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." And so verse 16 also goes on to say, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." And so when you come to those verses and you think about life as we look at it and see, I'm so thankful that you all set your clocks ahead today and you showed up. That's a great thing. I'm just glad I remembered. We were sitting there last night and Elaine goes, "I don't know, but there's something that we should be doing." And I went, I don't know. She goes, "Oh, we got to set the clocks ahead." I'm like, "Oh, that would be a good thing. It would not be good for me to not be here on time today and Brother Jay have to run about and try to figure out how in the world he's going to make it all happen without me." But he would have done it because he's that kind of guy. And so we appreciate all that he does for us and takes care of, and it's good. I've got three questions for you today that I think are pretty important. The first one is this. You got questions? I got questions for you. What's my first question? Are you a believer? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you experienced the new birth? Do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that when you die, if it were today, like Mike sung about, where would you spend eternity? My second question is, where would you like to spend your eternity? Would you like to go to heaven? I think most of us would, if we're honest, right? And my last question is, do you know how to get there? The direction to get you to heaven is pretty simple. You just have to follow the Word of God. Most of us want to go to heaven. Most of us have a desire to be there. We're just not ready to go like now. But we don't know when that now is going to happen. So you need to be ready for the and make preparations for when the time comes that your family has the assurance of where you're going to spend eternity. There's no greater comfort at the time of the loss of a loved one than them being able to put their grief and their assurance in the fact that they know where you're going when you die. That's what's important. So it's important to know how to get there. You know, there was a couple great theologians that had this to say about getting to heaven. You might have heard of these guys. One's name is Calvin, and the other one is Hobbes. And so when you read the comic strips, you know that Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin was that little guy that needs some medication to keep his feet planted on the ground and working the right way. And he has a very vivid and wild imagination. And, of course, you know, Hobbes, he's just his good old buddy, the tiger. And they were laying underneath the shade tree one day and looking up at heaven. And Calvin said this, "What if there's no heaven? What if this is all we get?" You know, there's a lot of people today that believe that. This is it. This is the final hurrah. Hobbes says, well, if this is all we get, I guess we just got to accept it. Calvin replied, yeah, but if I'm not going to be rewarded for all my good deeds, I want to know it now. And if there's no afterlife and there's no heaven, why would we even bother to be good? But if there is a heaven, how do we get there? That's the important question. How do we get there? You see, it's important that we know where we're going to spend eternity. There's a lot of people today who are going to try to fake God out. But that's nothing new either, because back in 1584, there was a man named Ivan. He was Ivan IV. He was the Tsar of Russia. And he was a terrible man. He had married 7 wives. He abused all of his wives. He was immoral and he was unmerciful to people. And he was violent. And when he died, you know what they did with him? They shaved his head, put a robe on him to make him look like a monk, because they were hoping that God wouldn't recognize Ivan the Terrible and he would be allowed into heaven. Well, you know, that's not going to happen. God's smarter than that. He knows each and every heart that's here today. He knows if you're going to heaven. And you should too. You should know that. You know, there's a lot of people today that look at us. We live on this side of the world and they say, oh, that's America. It's a Christian nation. They have nothing to worry about. They're all going to heaven because it's a Christian nation. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't have any grandchildren. Just because we live in America doesn't guarantee us a spot in heaven. What guarantees us that place in heaven is Jesus Christ being the central focus of our life, being his love being applied to our heart, and us accepting him for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what gets us to heaven. And so there's others in America who say, well, you know, I got that covered. My parents had me baptized when I was a baby, and it's all good. Now, if you've been saved out of one of those religions that baptize babies, bless your heart. That's a great thing. I've been saved out of one of those. I was Lutheran when I was brought into this world, and so my parents had me baptized as a baby, and they thought that that would get me to heaven. But my life in later years didn't exemplify anything that was Christian. And so I came to the place where I had to realize where I would spend eternity. And it wasn't good. And so I had to come just like everyone else and realize that the only way that we can know for sure how we're going to get there is through the Word of God. That's the guarantee. The manual, the handbook on life, everything that we need and is important to us about getting to heaven is right here. It's not right here. It's right here. This is the Word of God. This is what we stand on. This is what we place our faith in. And that's what God expects us to do. Read the Word of God, and it'll show us where we need to be. The only place that we can find those right answers is the Word of God. When we look at Acts chapter 16, we see Paul and Silas. They're in a little bit of a predicament. Things didn't go well for them as believers. They were doing things that the world at that time didn't agree with. And so the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes. They tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Has that happened to anybody in here in Christian America? Not so much, right? Moving on to verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. The jailer had a responsibility to watch over those who were under his control. Verse 25, we see that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Now, you know, I may be a pastor, but I'm not so sure that if I was in jail, that at midnight I'd be up singing and praising God. You know what I'm saying? I'm not so sure that my faith is that good. But who knows until you get to that point in your life what you'll really be doing. Because there are things that God brings into us that allows us to bring him glory. And I think that that's what happened here with Paul and Silas. You can't imagine the torment that they had gone through, being beaten and then thrown in jail, and then not only just thrown in jail, but chained. And so we see that they move on. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. God works in a lot of different ways, doesn't he? And so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." But Paul, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And verse 30, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And so that's a great Bible question. We talk about salvation. We ask people, have you been saved? Some people say, well, yeah, I've been saved from drowning. I've been saved from drowning in my life. I've been saved from car accidents. I've been saved from car accidents. I've been saved from this, that, and the other. But it doesn't answer the question, have you been saved by God's amazing grace? That's the important question. And so in John chapter 3, we haven't got there yet, but Nicodemus, he needed to experience being saved, but it was determined to be the new birth. Have you experienced the new birth? And so birth is a big term. It means that we experience life. And life comes through our salvation. Our salvation experience guarantees us a life in heaven. And that's what we're looking forward to. And so we need to, number two, realize that we all have a need. You need to recognize your need today. You know, my life was a wreck and it was shambled, and I was going in no direction whatsoever that was good. But yet there came a day when somebody invited me to go to church. And I was like, yeah, I don't do church. And she goes, well, you can come with me and sit with me. And I'm like, well, I can do church then. You know, and it took me a couple, three Sundays, and I did church pretty good. First Sunday was a little rough. It didn't go well. And I was one of them kids. But every Sunday after that got a little better, until that third Sunday when I recognized my need. And that need was, without Jesus Christ, I'm going to hell. I need him. And I recognized that need in my life. And it's changed the way I do life. We live in a world of pride. You know, we look at our human pride and we say, you know what? I'm self-sufficient. I can do this. I can handle anything that comes my way. And I'm sure Paul and Silas felt the same way. But they had no idea in the world that God was going to break them loose and they were going to be, you know, broke loose from jail. And yet God was going to use their jail term to win somebody to him, to change his life. And so when that happened, the jailer became aware of the fact that he was helpless. He had nowhere to turn. There was no security in his life. There was nothing that he could do. And so in that brief moment, everything had changed for him, and he realized that the best way out was just to commit suicide. I'm going to draw my sword and fall on it. And Paul goes, no, 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 we're all here. And that's when he asked the big question, you know, what must I do to be saved? But sometimes we only come to that question in our life when things begin to crash in on us, when life doesn't deal us a fair hand. I'm pretty sure that Paul and Silas felt that life hadn't dealt them a fair hand. But the jailer, he really felt that way because he seen no way out. You see, back then when a jailer was given the responsibility of his prisoners, if they escaped, the jailer had to do their jail time for them. So no wonder he wanted to fall on his sword. No wonder he wanted to be that person that suddenly realized, you know what? I need something more than what I've got. And so he asked, you know, that's the beginning of faith. He realized that he needed somebody. And that somebody was Jesus Christ. And he's the answer to our need today. When we look at John chapter 3 and verse 16, That's a very familiar verse. We could have quoted it with our eyes blindfolded without reading it from the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. That's a biblical term. Are you saved today? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Jesus came back from the dead after his crucifixion, and he says, hey guys, I've got a plan. I've got a way of escape. And they're like, okay, I can see it. You know, that's nothing different than what was going on in the Old Testament. Noah needed a plan. He needed an escape plan. And so God told him to spend 120 years building an ark, and he and his family were rescued because he realized that God provided an escape plan for him. Then there was the Exodus. All of God's people back then, the Israelites, were held captive by Pharaoh. They were under his thumb and his jurisdiction. And it wasn't good. And you remember Charlton Heston in the Bible went to Pharaoh and said, it was in the movies, folks, not the Bible. And so, let my people go. And God provided a plan of escape for them. And when they escaped, what did he do? He parted the Red Sea. They crossed over on dry land. And when the enemy was pressing down on them, God brought the waters back over the enemies. They had no escape plan because they had no relationship with God. What about David? David needed an escape plan because King Saul was always on his back, always trying to tear him down and kill him. But yet, he had a plan. And God knew that David would turn to him for the guidance and protection that he needed. And then we had Daniel. Daniel was the one who was cast into the lion's den. Whoa, could you imagine that? We read about it and you say, do you really believe that stuff happened? Absolutely. You know why? I have faith in the Word of God. And my faith comes from God. It only takes a little bit of faith to believe that. So Daniel's in the lion's den. And he gets out of there without a scratch because God leads a miraculous exit plan for him. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 91. The Bible says this, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. David knew those verses to be a reality in his life. And you know what? You can know that reality as well. God wants you to know that you have a way of escape. So how do you know what you believe? There's evidence in the Word of God that faith comes by hearing. Look with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says this, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. You can't push this out of your life and gain any better faith. You've got to implement the Word of God into your life. It'll make the difference for you. You need to examine the evidence that's there. Lee Strobel did that because his wife had gone to church and got saved. Now, Lee Strobel, you may have heard the name. He was a New York Times best-selling author. And before that, he was the investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. And he did not like his wife going to church. He couldn't understand the change that had come over her because he was an atheist. And so because of his disbelief in God, he decided to see what it was all about one day because they were on the verge of a divorce because he didn't like what she was doing. And so he began his journey.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the Grace Baptist Church in Akron, Ohio. If you'd like to contact Pastor Bob, you can do so by writing him at Grace Baptist Church, 704 North Firestone Boulevard, Akron, Ohio, 44306. Or give us a call, area code 330-773-7884. I'd like to invite you as well to log on to our website, gracebaptistakron.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.